Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Welcome to day 226 and Ephesians chapter 6, our last lesson in this wonderful gospel powerhouse book of Ephesians. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, please write your word on our hearts, for your word is what we need. Your word is what brings us to Christ and brings Christ to us. Your word teaches us the truth. And your spirit, Father, your spirit leads us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake as we follow in the footsteps laid down by your word. So lead us, guide us, bless us and keep us. Teach us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, bondservants, really slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that you also may know how I am and how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. That is Ephesians chapter 6. We begin with really a continuation of the household codes that were begun at the end of Ephesians 5. Now, the end of Ephesians 5 was a beautiful portrait of marriage as being a living display of the relationship between Christ and the church. But it was also a call to husbands and wives to treat one another in accordance with this purpose that God has for marriage, that husbands would love their wives as Christ loved the church, that wives would submit to their husbands as the church is to submit to Christ, that all would be done to the glory of God. Now, moving on from father and mother, we move to the rest of the household, the children. The children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. Notice that Paul directly addresses children as members of the church and as those who are called to obey their parents in the Lord. So there's two things we see here. In the Lord, here in chapter 6, verse 1. But then if we go all the way back to the beginning of the book of Ephesians, we'll see that at the beginning, Paul addressed this letter to the saints of Christ. The saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. So, who is he writing to? He's writing to the saints who are in Ephesus. And among that group, he addresses children. He addresses husbands as saints in Ephesus. He addresses wives as saints in Ephesus. He addresses fathers, slaves, masters, all of these as saints in the Lord. And he addresses children as saints in the Lord. And he calls them to obey their parents in the Lord. This means that children, all children of believers, belong as a part of the church and have covenant responsibilities for obedience in the Lord. They are called saints. Now, that doesn't mean that all children of believers from birth are true born-again, spirit-indwelled Christians, but it does mean that they are Christians in the broader sense that they belong in the church. They are children of the covenant. They are belong to the household of faith. And they are being brought to the Lord. They are being brought up in the Lord. So to confirm this again, we see in verse 4 the instruction to fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So the children are called to obey their parents in the Lord, and the fathers are called to bring up their children in the Lord, in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. All of this is to say that there is a fundamental difference, a fundamental covenantal difference between the child of a believer and the child of an unbeliever. The child of a believer is in the church. The child of an unbeliever is out of the church. The child of a believer is positionally, covenantally sanctified in the Lord and has covenantal obligations to obey in the Lord. Fathers are to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And that is not something that we can say about the children of unbelievers who are outside of the Lord and who are not at all being brought up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So a lot of this is what underlies the theology behind covenant child baptism and why it is that we Presbyterians baptize the children of believers as infants, because we see this picture that we're given in Scripture of where these children belong. Now, we are not Roman Catholic. We do not believe that baptism washes away the stain of original sin and justifies them and ensures that they will go to heaven. We don't believe that. We believe in justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, which was taught in chapter 2 of Ephesians. But these two things are not at odds. Children can be called holy. They can be said to be in the Lord covenantally. They can be said to be part of the church positionally. They can be said to be under the authority of the Lord and his protection and his covenant blessings, all the while being very clear that they do not have justifying faith until they actually profess faith in the name of the Lord Jesus before God and before others. So this is what we believe to be the biblical position. Careful study of every passage, holding all things together, we believe that this is the correct position to hold, and it's why we hold it. But a word to parents, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is hard. As a husband and a father, I feel the weight of Ephesians 5, calling me to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And I feel the weight of Ephesians 6:4. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It is so easy to just be selfish and temperamental and reactive. And when we are selfish and temperamental and reactive, we are provoking our children to anger. We're unpredictable, we're inconsistent. We go by our feelings and by our selfish desires, and we don't go by the word of the Lord. If we go consistently by the word of the Lord and we bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, there's a predictability, there's a consistency, and there's a love that underlies everything we do for our children. Slaves and masters. Now, this is, of course, one of the most controversial sections in the Bible, particularly in the American context, because in America, we had a couple hundred years of race-based slavery and chattel slavery. And that's not really the slavery picture that existed in the Roman world. In the Roman world, people became slaves because they were indebted to someone or because they were captured in war. You were not a slave just because you were born a certain color or you were simply sold that way because, right? And that's the difference between Roman and American slavery. So, but still, there's a radical point here. And this is to say, one way to look at it this way. All ancient ethicists, those who were teaching an ethical viewpoint, would all have said that slaves have an obligation to obey their masters. But here's the difference. Paul says slaves have an obligation to obey their masters with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. So you see the Godward orientation of all of it? You see the Christ-centered orientation of all of it? It's not slaves obey your masters because they own you and you owe them, whatever. No, it is as unto the Lord, as you would honor Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now that sets limits on what a slave could do in obedience to his master. If the master asked him to deliberately sin, you know, go steal that thing for me, or go kill that person for me, or go lie about this thing, the slave would have to say, I cannot do that because it's a violation. That would not allow me to do the will of God from the heart. So there sets limits on what a master can ask of a slave and how much obedience a slave can give to a master. And then on the other side, the really radical thing here comes in verse 9, where masters are told to do the same to them. You see, whether slave or free at the end of verse 8 is starting to establish this equality between slaves and masters, and verse 9 unpacks it further. Masters, do the same to them. The idea that masters have an equal obligation to their slaves as slaves do to their masters, that is radical. Stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Paul here, the Lord here, is establishing that before God, who is the judge and master of all, master and slave stand on equal ground, and there is a mutual obligation. Yes, the slave owes obedience, but the master owes care, and not threatening, but treat him as you would want to be treated. And that's pretty radical. And then we get this very famous, well-known section on spiritual warfare. It's the final bit of teaching that Paul does in Ephesians. Paul is a realist. He knows that life for the Christian is a battle. Life is warfare. We are always under attack by the devil, who works through the world and through our flesh. We are always subject to his schemes, the schemes of the devil. And again, those schemes may come through the world in terms of an offer or a temptation or a deception, or they may come through our own flesh, the craving of our flesh for sin and for sensuality. Whatever it is, we need to be able to take our stand against the schemes of the devil, knowing that we're not actually wrestling against flesh and blood. It's not actually some other person that is our enemy. It is the devil who is our enemy. And the way we do that is by praying and by equipping ourselves with the armor of God. And what the armor of God is, quite simply, is it is putting on Christ in every area of our lives. The armor of God is Christ and his covering and his protection for the people of God. There's the helmet of salvation. That is, Christ is our salvation, right? There is the breastplate of righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. There's the shield of faith. Our faith is in Christ, and our faith in Christ extinguishes the flaming darts of the enemy. There's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and Christ, of course, is the Word of God. We have Scripture, which is the Word of God inscripturated, but the Word of God incarnated is the Lord Jesus Christ. The shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is the gospel that we proclaim? It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we put on, it is that we are aware of how our thought life and our affections and our desires, the belt of truth, who is the truth? The Lord Jesus. Our thought life, our affections, our desires, our response to things that come at us in terms of accusation and temptation, our response to those things in an active way is all to be guided by Christ. Christ is to be our all in every aspect of our lives. And as we do so, we are to be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To this end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Do you see the fourfold all there in verse 18? All times, all prayer and supplication, all perseverance for all the saints. That's a lot of praying. We should be in a disposition of prayer, in an attitude of prayer throughout the day, so that as someone comes to our mind, we pray for them. As we hear about something that is happening in the world, we pray about it. And prayer is real combat. It is real spiritual warfare. It is how we stand together. And then Paul asks for prayer for himself. And I love the way Paul asks for prayer. He doesn't pray that his life would get easier or that he would just be set free. He doesn't say, pray for me that they would not be too harsh with me and I would be set free quickly. No, he doesn't say that. He says, pray for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. That is his desire. He wants to be a faithful ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to speak the word of God boldly and clearly. He's sending along Tychicus to give them an update on how he's doing and to encourage them. He is concerned to encourage them, even if he's asking them to pray for him. And then finally, as he closes so many of his letters, Paul closes with a word of blessing, a benediction, of peace, and love with faith and grace. And what awesome things to bless others with. The peace, the love with faith, and the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful book of Ephesians and for all that we've learned from it. Please continue to grow us in knowing you and in following after you in every area of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, tomorrow our plan is to be back in the book of Numbers for Numbers 29. Hope you can join us for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.